Have you enjoyed the great weather lately? You know, springtime normally is a gift, but this one we've earned, okay? And even today, do you know how the Lord takes care of you? He brings the rain today and tomorrow, maybe even a little on Tuesday, because you need to be focused on your studies. And he understands that if it was really sunny and nice, you wouldn't be focused on your studies. And so, he's giving us this gift. And then right when you need it, basically Wednesday, mid-70s and sun. Beautiful. This is the opportunity to reacquaint myself with my mountain bike. So I was away on a trip down to the seminary in Denver. I got back late Wednesday night, so I rode Thursday in the evening. I took Friday off, and I rode Friday during the day. I was busy all day yesterday with ministry, but I got out this afternoon before the rain came, and I love that. And I love where I live. My heart was just full of joy because I'm like, I love living here. I love where I live. Have you ever thought about where you're from? I'm a native Montanan. Have you ever thought about where you're from, where you live, and how that shapes not just how you act, not just what you do, but how you are? So I studied in Rome for seminary, and most of the guys who are over at the North American College, the place where that is, there's about 225 men from all over the U.S. studying for the priesthood in Rome. Most of them come from the East Coast, which is a very interesting place. They call Montana flyover country. I call the East Coast flyover country. When I have to come back from Rome, I have to fly over the East Coast to get to Montana, right? And there's just a very different vibe if you've ever lived out there. So these were my encounters. This is one example. Like, you're walking down a hallway, and there's just one other person. Okay, and if this was not all the East Coast guys, but a lot of the East Coast guys. So I would walk down and I'd be like, hey, how's it going? Good to see you. And the other guy would be like, and I'm like, I couldn't figure it out. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, it's just normal for human beings to say hello. And I wrestled with it. And then it finally dawned on me that I'm from Montana. And at least one guy in particular, he was a total New Yorker. And you know what happens is, like, where I'm from, you say hello to people, right? Even if you don't know them, especially if you don't know them. If you're in New York and someone you don't know comes up and says hello to you, you're like, this guy's at least working an angle. Probably he's going to mug me. Right? And so it's just a totally different way of being. And it's all predicated not on moral character, it's just where you're from. Like Montana, you trust somebody until they give you a reason not to. New York, you don't trust somebody until they give you a reason to. And that's how you have to live, because that's the way it is, right? Just a different way of being. Well, I want to reflect tonight on where you live spiritually. And how that shapes not just how you live in the world, what you do, but more importantly, how you are, your being. So 7 times in the gospel tonight, 7 times in 8 verses, we hear the word from Jesus, remain, 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 remain in me. Remain in me as I remain in you. 7 times in 8 verses, it just comes up over and over and over again. And that word is a really powerful word, especially in the Greek. Menein is the verb. And it can be translated as remain. It has a huge layer and depth of meaning. It's more than just staying, stay with me. It's more than that. Remain. It means abide in me. Abide in me. And we don't use that word very often, do we? Abide in me. It also means dwell in me. What a great and beautiful phrase. Remain in me as I remain in you. Dwell in me as I dwell in you. Think about that. Dwell in me as I dwell in you. The God of the universe says, dwell in me as I dwell in you. Powerful, right? Live in me as I live in you. All of that is there for us tonight. See, that living in Jesus, remaining in him, abiding in him, dwelling in him, living in him is what Christianity is all about. It's the very beginning of what the faith is. And how often has Christianity been reduced to a bunch of rules? Does it have rules? You bet it does. Does it start with rules? Absolutely not. Not in a million years. It starts with this invitation to be one with the living God, to let his life come into your life and elevate your life. It's a way of living in him. And in fact, it gets to my favorite prayer at Mass. And I hope you pay attention at this moment when it comes up at Mass tonight. So when I consecrate the host, after the consecration of the host and the precious blood, I'll elevate both and I'll say, through him and with him and in him. And then the prayer goes on. But through him and with him and in him, that, my friends, is the essence of Christianity. To live your life through him and with him and especially in him. That's where it has to begin. And you know, when I was your age, and especially when I was younger, and even when I was older, I thought that I had to do stuff for him. But doing stuff for God is secondary to living in him. See, it's not a moral action that is at the heart of Christianity. I'm going to do this thing for God. No. First, live in him, through him, with him, and in him. And as we live through him and with him and in him, what we do for him will be on solid foundation. Otherwise, it turns into my efforts, my work, what I have to do, what I have to accomplish. And yes, is there work to be done? Absolutely. And you're going to hear about that later in this homily. Yes, there's work, but it always flows from a lived relationship through him and with him and in him. And that is what Jesus invites us to. So remain in him is the message. How do we do that? Well, listen, it's not a one and done deal. If you've ever run into Christians who say once saved, always saved, they're wrong. They're just wrong. The reason it can't be that is because Jesus says, remain in me. And if he says remain, that opens the possibility of not remaining, doesn't it? He says it over and over, remain in me. Remain, remain, remain. You have to choose to say yes to staying in that relationship, to living through me, with me, and in me. Jesus says that to you and I. So we gotta do the work. And what does remaining in Jesus look like? I'm gonna offer two things. It's dynamic and it is concrete. Remaining in Jesus is dynamic and it is concrete. So dynamic as opposed to static. Dynamic as opposed to static, concrete as opposed to abstract. Dynamic, I love that word. The Greek, where we get dynamic, is dunamis. It's also where we get the word dynamite. It means power. Power. By the way, you know who the inventor of dynamite was? Alfred Nobel. Yes, that Nobel, right? Isn't that kind of a hilarious twist of history? Okay. I'll leave you with that, okay? If you hear one thing, at least you'll know that, all right? Power. Power. If you remain in Jesus, there is power that enters your life. And that power is dynamic. It changes things, and it changes you. It's not static. We're not called to live static lives. Our lives are meant to be dynamic and powerful in all the right ways, in the real power of God. And that power will change your life. That's why Jesus says you need to be pruned. If you're a branch on the vine, you must be pruned so that you will bear more fruit. When the power of God enters, certain things need to go. My selfishness, my focus on me, my desire to live a safe life, my hope to have everything under control, this sin, that struggle, all those things need to be changed by the power of Jesus Christ that enters your life and brings a change. And that pruning is not a bad thing. It's the best thing. If you know anyone who knows anything about growing trees or growing vines or growing anything, pruning is necessary. It looks awful. And if you ask the plant or the tree or the vine, it feels awful. But the vine grower knows what he is about. And so when Jesus begins to prune some things away from you, an old attitude that you have, an old sin that's become a vice, a broken way of seeing God, a broken way of seeing others, especially a broken way of seeing yourself. When Jesus comes with the pruning shears, you should say, yes, let it be done. Because he will only take away in you what is robbing you of life. And everything that he takes away that robs you of life comes back to you in the form of real life. And so, Jesus, if we remain in him, will change us. We don't come to Mass to be affirmed. We come to Mass to be loved. Let me say that again. We don't come to Mass to be affirmed. We come to Mass to be loved. And love both accepts us and challenges us at the same time. You've heard me say it before. Jesus loves you right where you are, but he loves you way too much to let you stay there. He meets you right where you are tonight, but he wants to call you higher. And so call he will. If you allow him to enter your life, he will bring power that will change you. Dynamic. Not static. Also this, my friends, remaining in Jesus is concrete and not abstract. St. John, second reading today. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Let us now love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. You see, Jesus came among us, incarnate in the flesh, so that we would know that love is not just a word. It's not just something spoken, but rather it is real, concrete, heart-to-heart loving. And Jesus invites us into that. We are called to love in deed and in truth. If you remain in Jesus, what will happen is he will send you in very real ways to very real people, and you are called to love them in reality, not in your mind, not in your sentiments, but in action. That is exactly why you see, as the last thing before you leave this chapel complex, the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. Because we are called to give away that love in that way, in very real ways. And so many of you do that. But if it's not real, it's not worth anything. It's just an idea. And that's not what remaining in Jesus is. It's not an idea. It's flesh and blood real. To do that, we have to remain in him. We have to stay grafted onto the vine. You know, these are plants that are real and living. If I took this branch and I pulled it away, which I won't do, what would happen is it would look fine. It would look fine for a while. But that thing is dead as it could possibly be. It just hasn't manifested it yet. When we try to live our lives apart from God, and that is the temptation in the culture today, to live our life on our terms, my way, the way I want to do it. And just because you're sitting here doesn't mean you're not tempted toward that. We're like the branch that gets cut off the vine. And it looks fine for a while, but it will inevitably and without fail wither and die because it has no more new life coming in. And that is why we pray. And that is why we come to Mass. And that is why we serve others, is because when we do those things, new life comes into our hearts and we are changed and transformed. And that, my friends, is so very exciting. Today, April 29th, if it was not Sunday, we would be celebrating the feast of an amazing saint, a doctor of the church, Saint Catherine of Siena. She's one of my heroes. A laywoman, Dominican, never consecrated as a religious sister. She was a laywoman. She lived as a Dominican, third order, 14th century, died in the 15th century. Right at the end of the 13th or 14th century, she was born and lived into the 15th century. She lived in Siena. She was so on fire with the love of the Lord because she remained in him. You see, what happens is if we remain in Jesus, we will be set free to move. And I know that's paradoxical. The more rooted you are, the more you can move. But that's the way it is in the Lord. The more rooted you are in him, the more you can move. The more free you are in your life. The more you can live your life in an amazing way. And that was Catherine of Siena. And so she said this, if you are who God calls you to be, you will set the world ablaze. You will set the world ablaze with God's love. She knew that in her life. She knew that because she knew Jesus. She was so rooted in him that the fire that burns in his heart for each and every person and for this world began to burn in her heart for each and every person and for this world. And that is what this is all about. She also said this, do not be satisfied with little things because God wants great things. Do not be satisfied with little things, because God wants great things. He wants great things for you. He also wants great things from you. You know, when you choose to come to Mass, I never take that for granted. I never do. This isn't happening at other colleges. It's not happening at Catholic colleges. You're making a choice, and it's such a great choice. What I pray for you is this, that your hearts begin to desire great things, so much greater than just a career, so much greater than just job security. Great things that you begin to want to be a saint, that you want to live for the greatest things. The greatest thing is God. To live for Him, but not just for Him, to live through Him and with Him and in Him. I pray for you that tonight your heart will awaken to great things, that you will receive the fire of God's love, just as Catherine of Siena did, that it will begin to enkindle and burn and inflame your heart, that you cannot keep it to yourself, and that you will go and set the world ablaze with His love, because that is what you were made for, nothing less. Do not settle for small things, because God wants great things. Remain in Him, and He will accomplish that.